An American troublemaker has died. Larry Flint was a hardcore pornographer whose Supreme Court case in 1988 made him a free speech folk hero. Admire him, despise him, or both, Flint left a singular mark on culture and politics. Flint died in Los Angeles this morning. He was 78 years old. NPR's Netta Ulubi has our remembrance.
It's highly unusual to start an obituary with a warning about sexual content ahead, but Larry Flint would have approved.
Pornography is really the purest form of art.
Larry Flint on WHYY's Fresh Air in 1996. The high school dropout was born in a log cabin in Kentucky. His magazine, Hustler, started as a newsletter promoting Flint's strip clubs. It was a proudly knuckle-dragging answer to Playboy's highfalutin interviews and comparatively prim centerfolds. At its peak in the 1970s, Hustler had more than 2 million subscribers.
I felt guys wanted to see more of a girl next door, whether she might have small breasts, medium or large, or be a brunette or a blonde.
Hustler also published racist and anti-Semitic jokes, a long-running cartoon about a pedophile, Chester the Molester, and photographs literally showing women as pieces of meat. All of it, said Flint, was satire.
We created humor for Hustler, which is considered tasteless and lowbrow and many times offensive, but it's the type of humor that you hear and see in the workplace and the factories.
Larry Flint made his first $1 million by publishing nude photographs of Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, taken on the sly. She was one of the few who did not sue Hustler, but over his lifetime, Flint reportedly spent more than $50 million battling various charges of obscenity and libel. In 1983, Hustler ran a fake ad featuring televangelist Jerry Falwell, in which he said he'd lost his virginity to his mother in an outhouse.
And he had to kick the goat out first. It was clearly a satire.
That's Flint on Larry King Live in 1996, talking about Falwell suing him for invasion of privacy, libel, and intentional affliction of emotional distress. The case went to the Supreme Court. In a landmark unanimous decision, the court ruled Flint's satire was protected by the First Amendment. The publisher was lionized in the 1996 movie The People vs. Larry Flint. Actor Woody Harrelson got an Oscar nomination playing a lovable rascal fighting even with his lawyer.
Don't be so melodramatic. You don't want to quit me. I'm your dream client. I'm the most fun, I'm rich, and I'm always in trouble.
Flint was always in trouble. There was a time he wore an American flag as a diaper. Another time he was fined for contempt of court and hired women dressed as sex workers to deliver $10,000 in pennies. In 1977, Larry Flint became a born-again Christian under the influence of President Jimmy Carter's sister. He reverted to atheism a year later after a white supremacist shot him and paralyzed Flint for life. He spent years addicted to painkillers.
You can't discuss pain with people that's never experienced it. Right? Until you've had nerve damage, you really don't know what real pain is.
But Flint loudly campaigned against the death penalty for the man who tried to murder him. Riding around in a gold-plated wheelchair, he branched out into casinos and sex stores. Flint ran for president in 1984 and donated millions to free speech causes, while antagonizing feminists with porn that, for example, glorified sexual assaults. His truly gross pornography, says sex columnist Dan Savage, made Flint a necessary outlier testing the principles of free speech.
And at the same time, you know, helped create Supreme Court decisions that further enhanced and strengthened the First Amendment that in turn protects us all. So we should be grateful for Larry Flint, even if his output isn't something that you're interested in. I'm certainly not.
Perhaps part of Larry Flint's legacy, says Savage, should be a clear-eyed assessment of the porn so prevalent online now.
And we need to say to our kids, you're going to see porn that's mixed up with anger and rage and misogyny, as Larry Flint's porn was. And you need to not succumb to that anger, rage, and misogyny.
In 1996, Larry Flint described his legacy this way.
You know, a free press is not freedom for the thought you love, but rather for the thought you hate the most. People have to tolerate the Larry Flints of the world so they can be free.
In a newspaper interview, Larry Flint was asked to imagine the afterlife. Predictably, he described a place of constant sexual fulfillment, where no politicians are hypocrites. Even there, Larry Flint will surely manage to stir up trouble. Netta Ulubi, NPR News.